Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jared Freed.
And I'm Jordana Abraham.
So good to be back here with you, Jordana.
So good to be back here with you on this April Fool's Day.
Is this April Fool's?
It is April Fool's.
We did it. We made it.
Hopefully, this whole year has been a huge April Fool's.
We've been fools all year. I don't know. We're getting ahead. We don't know what's happened from when we taped to now, but we hope
that we're still alive
and kicking, and we laugh because we are scared. Yeah. But we also, we're here for you. We're here to put out content so that you can get through your day. It might be, if you're still stuck in the house from when we taped this, then this might be a helpful vacation, a mind vacation from the tries and tribs of what's going on in the world, right?
Yeah. I mean, you will have, when are you supposed to move in?
Today.
So you're moving today.
If we're allowed to move in, we're okay. Moving in today. And that's stressful as it is without what's going on with COVID and all that stuff. But right. We're supposed to move in today. I'm excited. Just to let everyone know.
You're excited.
I'm excited. Yeah. I've gotten used to the
You are.
The relationship speak I have to get used to via, Big Brother.
It's funny. When we first started dating, we went on our first trip. We went to Mexico. And then we ran into one of his friends in the airport on the way back. Mm. Or one of his friend's wives. And she was like, oh, how's the trip? He's like, it was good. And I'm like, what? It was what? He's like, it was great. It was great.
It is unbelievable. Yeah. The thing is, when you get a girlfriend and when you get somewhat serious, you realize that you have been entered in to this wild competition that you had no idea was going on. Like, you knew what was going on, but you didn't know how it was happening and what levels of it was happening and how nuanced and quiet it was. But just that story alone, Mike is probably sitting there going, I said it was good. I had a good time. What do I have to do? And you had a good time? Good time. Right. Now I got her telling everyone that we didn't seem excited about our vacation.
We had a good time?
Yeah. And we're like no guy is worried about the tone of your good time to his buddy being off.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
because you've been at, here's the thing, you've been at brunch tables that have had shit talking, I'm sure, right? Like, you've been at brunch tables that have had shit talking conversations as small and trivial as that interaction.
Yeah, that's all we do is just analyze relationships, people, shit talk. That's who we are.
And that's
the
thing.
And I have to tell you something. I love it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I love it. I mean, I know that it's bad to gossip and it's bad to talk about things, but like, I think there's an evolutionary need for it, because like, that's why I love that Real Housewives shit, Bachelor. Well, it feels good to like talk about someone else's life.
Well,
speculate wildly.
Listen, I'm a huge Bachelor fan. I get that. What I don't understand, when I see it is when I talk about The Bachelor. Like, because just imagine when you watch someone go crazy for a game, like the Super Bowl, and you go, how could anyone get that into that?
I never understand it.
Well, how could, that's how he thinks about you. How could she ever care about the tone of my good? Of the vacation was good. Like, that's the same.
It's funny because whenever he's like, that's the only time I see him super riled up. He's like screaming at the TV. I'm like, what about screaming about how great our vacation was?
Exactly. And he just when you're dumbfounded, he's as dumbfounded about how his reaction wasn't good enough, because you don't understand when he watches football the emotional impact of a loss is to a guy. Like, oh, my team lost, so now I'm less of a man. I'm going to get made fun of. Like, I'm not saying this is all true.
I've never understood that. I'm always like, you're not even on the team.
I understand.
Nothing to do with you.
I used to do a joke. I was trying to do a joke about the NFL. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the NFL is where this is the most, college football and NFL football is where it's the most, you know, crazy.
Right.
If you make a joke about I remember I would go on stage and I was trying to make a joke about the NFL, but I didn't know what team to choose because every time I said a different team, someone from the audience would yell out to stop me from doing the joke. So I would go, what you realize is that NFL teams are like a family member to a lot of people. So I remember I would go Buffalo Bills and someone would go, oh, whoa, 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 not Buffalo, whoa, we're going to be fine. And it's like, I'm just trying to do my fucking joke. I don't give a fuck about Buffalo. I don't give a fuck about your team. Like, I'm not making fun of your team to get you. And I think that's what sports, that's what happens a lot with guys is like it becomes a personal. It
becomes a religion.
It's a personal extension of you.
Yeah.
They represent a part of you. And it's the same thing as the boyfriend saying, vacation was good. Yeah, I can't wait to move in. Oh,
what?
Right. You're, because they know, we don't understand how that's getting, what happens later on.
Right. Well, the issue is like the social media and the brunch table thing where it's like, oh, like I heard this guy say he was like, he wrote that whole nice poem about her or something like whatever, long-winded anniversary. Who wrote, I just saw a tweet that was like, the longer your anniversary post caption, the worse the relationship is doing.
Yeah, Corinne Fisher. Yeah, it was very funny. I agree with that completely.
It was so funny.
And yeah, everyone go follow Corinne. She's got a great podcast. Guys, we fucked. And she's fantastic. It is interesting because I'm noticing my tone isn't enough for our relationship milestones. And you know what? It becomes a little, I don't want to use a phrase. I don't exactly know the meaning. You know, Schadenfreude.
I've heard of it. I forget what it means.
Schadenfreude, I literally learned from
like a show?
No, I learned it from the puppet musical. But it's a...
it sounds like a word to describe a very specific...
Pleasure derived by someone from another person's misfortune.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And I see it with... we're seeing it within the times of coronavirus. We're seeing that with people who are like, oh, you weren't careful enough? Good. Fuck you. You have it, and I hope you have it, and I hope everyone that came in contact with you dies so that you feel badly and I'm good.
Well, do you ever feel that way about, comedy or careers or, things like that where you're kind of like...
I try to steer away from that.
Oh, your show got canceled? Fuck you.
I think we're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
I see it front row center when I watch The Bachelor. The Bachelor this season, Barbara, the mom of Peter. Peter's the Bachelor. He ends the season, and his mom gets so involved with this whole thing.
I watched the finale, so I do know what you're talking about.
I have a lot of opinions on this. It was so amazing to me to watch these women yell at Barbara, imagine being her daughter-in-law. Imagine this. Oh, Barbara's awful. Barbara's this. And it's like, if you want to, I'll give a quick recap. The recap is Peter chooses, Peter's face between Madison and
Hannah Ann.
And Hannah Ann. Barbara likes Hannah Ann, doesn't like Madison.
Right.
And is very vocal about it. And it's like, a lot of people out there were like, how could a person be like this? How could a woman be like this? I'm like, yeah, but this is within all moms.
I did think it was weird. The only thought I think I thought was weird about the mom was that she was kind of seemed to be taking the girl's side over her son's.
Can I explain what happened? I know exactly.
Okay.
Moms with two boys, moms with only sons.
No offense.
The worst. I've seen it
only
myself.
Sons, yeah.
Moms with only sons are the worst because they've been queen of the roost.
Of the castle for
queen
the entire...
Queen of the castle their whole life, many years. And this is what happened.
Right.
Madison's a religious person.
You're the woman in the family and you're used to whatever you say being the thing.
And
yeah.
So this is the thing where I kept talking about how Barbara is empathetic and people were like, no, fuck her. No mother should have to. And it's like, yeah, but you guys are in this world of talk shit on people. And it's like, no, give her a fucking shot. A mom with two boys. She meets one girl who's obsessed with her son and another girl who looks at her son and goes, you know, we have different values. The minute a woman tells a mother that she has different values than her son, that means she is telling the mother, you raised your son wrong. My values I was brought up with are different than the ones you brought up your son with.
But Hannah Ann was still like yelling at Peter, being like, you're not a man.
This is after the
fact.
Blah,
blah, blah. No, but she was clapping. You see, they panned her in the studio audience. She's clapping when she's saying all that shit.
This makes sense because here's what happens. Madison says, my values differ with your son.
Okay.
That is now to Barbara, crazy mom.
Right. She's hit a sensitive spot.
She takes that in as, I raised my son wrong. So now it's me versus her. Okay, then you saw in that studio audience segment, Madison is sitting with Peter, and Peter goes, hey, mom, you got to relax. You have to, I think if you got to know each other, you'd like each other. Now, the son you brought up is siding with another woman.
Right.
So now, she has that famous line where she's like, you know, he's going to fail to succeed. Yeah. And she's saying that, like, go walk off with another woman and see how it goes with her. You'll see. I'm your mom. Mom knows best. That's why she's cheering for Hannah Ann. She's cheering for Peter to come crawling back to her and say, you know what? You were right. That chick doesn't think that you raised us right, and she sucks.
I still think it's weird to get that emotionally invested in...
It's all weird. I mean, go look at any Facebook comment section and you see people yelling at each other in the same way.
Well, yeah, that's true. But like, I mean, just the reaction when he says he picked the girl, it's kind of like... This isn't your wife.
It's all personal. It's all emotional, and it's all about tone. Like right. You even saw the husband. She was sitting next to the husband, and she was like, "And what do you think, Peter Senior?" And he just puts his head down, like, "Oh,
whatever the fuck this bitch
thinks."
Yeah,
I have to live with her. Yeah. You know, and it's like it is this world that men don't understand. This, you know, this pecking contest. This race that's been going on, and we have no idea
men
what it
have
means.
It too. It's just about different shit.
It's about different shit.
Yeah.
So we and ours
like
is
said,
also
sports, career,
sports and,
whatever,
and career, but like also physical.
Mm-hmm.
Ours turns into a fight. Ours turns into a into like not. I think the fight is done differently too.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, you know, like even Barbara put up an Instagram post of her and her friends singing "You Don't Love Me."
You
don't own me type of shit. And it's like, what does this all mean? And then like girls were sending it to me being like, oh, look at her. Look at this slap back or clap back. And I was like, I don't know what this fucking means. You right. know, this is a fight that I don't even understand.
Well, it's very, it requires a certain level of like pettiness and emotional intelligence to really sit through it.
Absolutely.
That's what we're geared to
know. And that's what you
know.
Guys, a lifetime of it. So when I say... Yeah, I'm excited to move in. Whoa, this is going back to the table.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I remember you guys should go back and listen to some old episodes while you've got all this time.
Mm-hmm.
But we had Whitney Cummings on very early on. You guys should listen to that episode. She talks about like why women do this, though, like the female brain. She was like, she was
in that movie. Yeah.
But essentially, it's about like how you had to be like acutely aware of all these, like women are just much more aware of like social cues in that sense of like heightened like they have to be like on heightened awareness for like danger to the relationships or mm-hmm. danger to your social
sure.
circle. It's just kind of like your evolutionary
it's how you were brought up thing. In years and years and
yeah.
relatives on relatives. Yeah, it's all interesting. I think this kind of quarantine section is a nice pre. She's already annoyed with me. She's already seeing that. It is funny to like go, oh, I was the problem. You know, right. there's a lot of, I don't think anyone would want to live with me. So I like, you know, good luck to her. You know, like.
Yeah, but now you know what, but it's also like, this isn't even what it's like to live together.
I know.
It's not
this
like
not
this
the,
when you
yeah,
live together.
It's not the day to day
isn't right,
like this.
I mean, it's like this on the weekends when you live together, but mm-hmm. it's not like this 7 days a week.
It's a crazy.
That's a situation that no one that you know has lived through.
Let's do some emails.
So I thought this was an interesting email. I thought about it a lot last night. So someone writes in, hi, J&J. My ex's mom just passed away. What's the etiquette on reaching out? Don't want to be an asshole for not reaching out, but don't want to be selfish for doing so. I'm guessing I'm overthinking this, but would love to hear your thoughts.
Mm, very interesting. Do you have any thoughts?
I have thoughts. I thought about this a lot because I was, and I asked some people because I have a lot of time these days.
Okay.
I think if you broke up less than 2 years ago, you should reach out, say something nice without asking any questions.
Interesting.
And then if you broke up more than that, not necessary.
Mm. I disagree.
You disagree.
I disagree with putting a timestamp on it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think
your high school girlfriend's mom passes away. Are you texting
and
her?
And I come across the information.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would text.
You text her.
Yeah, because I'm not sexually attracted to them or I'm not invested in this relationship.
So you think almost the opposite.
I think the opposite. I think if you are, I think here's what you need. I think it can be selfish, but you can only drive your bus.
Okay.
So my thought on this, and a lot of people are asking this question about like coronavirus and quarantine people. Should I check in on,
right,
you know, my ex had lung disease. You know, my ex isn't good about this stuff. When you say my ex isn't good about this stuff, that makes me think you're emotionally still involved in them and you're thinking of them in a romantic way.
Right.
When you say my ex's mom passed away, okay, here's what I would say. If you are over, you have to be honest with yourself. If you're over the relationship, then you can text.
I kind of almost feel like it's not the opposite, but like if we were dating and we broke up tomorrow and then your mom dies on Friday, like I'm clearly not over the relationship. Let's say you broke up with me on tomorrow and whatever. Sure. Your mom dies on Friday, God forbid. I'm going to text you because you were in my life a week ago.
Of course, but you also, this is kind of back to my point, is that when you, so maybe not that you're over it emotionally, but you have to separate that this is a care text for someone that you had a relationship with from this is something that will get me back in with them.
Right.
If you look back down the lines of life and go, well, we got back together because his mom passed away and I got back, maybe that wasn't the healthiest way to get back together.
That's how a lot of people probably get back together. If you watch Vanderpump Rules, that's...
I'm sure it happens.
Right.
I'm sure, but I would say to me, if you're texting someone to... You have to... Your text has to be genuinely to wish them well with a dead relative. If it's not, you have to hold back and realize it's not.
Well, I think the closer that you are to dating... the more it's going to be harder to sift between the two, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. I think it's kind of like...
But that's what you have to be prepared for. You need to prepare for what's going to come back from the person because they might see it as, oh, they're trying to get back and maybe I'm thinking about them more and this was nice and wow, we texted again. I think it has to be, hey, I'm sure times are tough right now. I just want to send my condolences. Hope all is well. Thinking of you.
Or
I would just be thinking of you.
Right.
Hey, I heard the horrible news. I hope my thoughts are with you. What was the last line I said?
Hope all is well. I mean, it's not.
Not hope all is well. I'd get away from hope all is well.
Yeah, I think, agree with that. Yeah. Upon second, upon further reflection, get away from that.
Well, it's like, hey, I heard the horrible news.
But no, let me know if there's anything I can do.
No. You got to shut it off. Hey, heard the horrible news. My thoughts and prayers are with you and your family. Boom. Done.
What if that person comes back at you with...
What's the response? What could the hypothetical response be?
Thanks. Yeah, we're really just trying to get through this and deal with it. How was everything with you?
I'm doing well. I can't imagine. My thoughts and prayers are with you.
Again,
you're a political candidate.
My thoughts and prayers.
That's you get out,
right?
Because that person on their own, the selfish part is to not be a little bit cold. The selfish part is when you go, everything's been good, you know, with COVID going around, it's a little high at times, but you know, I have been thinking about you. There it is,
right?
You're 4 seconds away from I have been thinking about you, which. You should be thinking about the person. They're an ex. They're someone that's been in your life. You're going to go review the timeline of your life. That's going to happen.
But that's why I think if it's been long enough, I think if it's been years since you've been together, you're not going to be, the person doesn't like you're not that person for that person anymore.
Of course, but also it's nice to hear from anybody. I think like what during a time of crisis, time
would
of
you,
need.
Would you want to hear from, if it was you, would you want to hear from your ex of 5 years ago? Would that make
if
you feel better?
It wouldn't make me feel, if I did, I would appreciate it and then I would move on from it. I'm over them.
Right.
You know, but, like I don't think, I think this is only a problem to the people who aren't over it. And if you're not over it, then maybe it's not time to reach out.
So you're saying don't reach out if you still have any kind of emotions about it.
The temptation of them speaking to you on fine terms that it will feel, you'll go, because what happens is you go, wow, remember this is how we used to talk. Yeah, but this is like wartime, you know, texting.
So let's
like
say,
all, okay. You know, like you have, you know, you got to have to abide by certain rules when someone dies.
Let's say you break up. This happens 6 months later. You're not full, 3 months later, you're not fully over it.
I'm sending a text.
You're still, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're going to send the text even if you have emotions about it, because it's the
right thing to do.
Because it's the right thing to do because of the proximity that they were in your, like of how important they were in your life at one point.
Hey, I heard the horrible news. My thoughts and prayers are with your family. Please send my best. Boom. I'm out.
Okay.
So I don't answer a single text after that.
You send this to anyone.
Yeah, I would. I mean,
even if you still feel...
I've had instances in my life where I haven't sent the text, haven't called, and it sticks with you. You know, you...
Right, because you can't
undo that. And then the farther you get away, the more you're like, man, it's weird. I should have sent it. Now it's years later and I'm still thinking about it. Like,
right.
You know, I just think...
I just think sometimes it fucks with that person more than it...
I think if that's the case, then that person... needs to speak to a professional. Like
then the person if you who you're texting needs to.
Yeah, the person texting doesn't need to seek a professional if that's their only text. If, how you been? I've been thinking about you. If you're doing that to someone while they're going through a hard moment in their life, then you're fucked up.
But I'm saying you could say that thing and it could still inadvertently make the other person kind of like. It reminds yeah, them of someone that they used to.
I always think of.
The intention.
The intention is bigger than what comes out of it.
I think of the way it would affect the person they were texting.
I'm not on that side. I don't. I think everyone's trying to get by. Everyone's trying to do the right thing. Everyone's trying to go through life without being evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we like to think that there's like this group of people out there that are just like living every day. Okay. To fuck with our lives. And it's like, no. And I think if someone, you know, 6 months out, your mom dies and you go, hey, just want to, and if that person twists that to be, oh, you're trying to fuck with me while my mom, it's like,
right.
There's nothing you could have done. You're just trying to be nice and offer, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then someone would say, well, why do you need to offer? Why do you need to be the person? It's like, yeah, I feel bad if anyone's mom dies, you know, like right.
What if it was something incredible that happened to them? Like, good.
I don't think you need to.
Then it's like, a no.
It's a no because then it's like, why are you watching my life so much? Like,
you heard someone heard that you, I don't know, won the lottery.
Hey, I'd be like, oh, you're looking for some money now. You know, like, I don't know. If someone, like, let's say I do the Tonight Show.
Okay.
Let's say I get the Tonight Show, and an ex-girlfriend of mine is like, hey, I just saw you on the Tonight Show. That was so cool. And I remember back in the day when you were doing open mics and we were dating, and I just want to say it was cool for me to see that from you. I would go, wow, that's the nicest thing in the world. I appreciate that you thought enough of me and felt a part of it in a certain part of my life. Like, I would feel nice about that. But I don't think that would bring me down the road of like, oh, well, what could have been?
Well, it wouldn't because you're like not in that state. But what if you were?
Like, I think
you underestimate the amount of time that it takes most people to get over breakups.
That might be true. But I also, you know, I'm probably underestimating it. But I also believe in like the other, like just looking at the other side, like, oh, they did that because they wanted to. Like it was the intention. I just believe in looking at the intention of most right. things. Like,
yeah, if you believe that person is purely intentioned.
Yes. I like to believe in that.
I mean,
and I guess I'm overestimating people's purity.
I mean, pure intentions are more of a big deal when the bad thing happens than when the good thing happens.
If the good thing happens, the thing has to be on national news.
Okay. You can't show that you've stalked them.
Yeah, yeah. It right. has to be make the news. Right. It's like getting Instagram verified. Yeah. You have to have had articles written about you for this to be verified.
I've had people reach out in the
We've talked about
yeah,
that.
in the good news way.
And how did you feel? Like,
again, like I mean, like I don't think you have to like not be over something to be like still kind of be like I don't really give a shit if you like think this is cool. Like I don't want to hear
30
from you.
Under 30.
Yeah,
you got that.
Yeah,
you have people reach out, exes.
Other stuff. I don't think about that, but other stuff. Yeah.
And what was your response to them? Fuck off.
I think I probably just like didn't answer.
I think it's okay to not answer
it's like,
too.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to get into a conversation with you.
But that's the other really? Thing, though. It's okay to see that text go, that was nice. Right. I'm not going to go down that road
yeah.
because it brings up bad feelings.
Right. I mean, even the thing that we had talked about in like the January episode, it was kind of like, it's kind of like, I know what you're doing. There's some people who text and it's kind of like, I know what you're doing, especially for guys. I mean, there's probably less so for girls than it happens for guys, but it's like with those toxic situations where it's like, you're using this as a way to like restart something that you're eventually going to fuck with me on.
You're making me rethink my statement from the
beginning. Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Because so it should be, I think if you're over it, you reach out.
Right.
And you haven't gotten back together in the past.
Okay. That's a new statement based on my experience.
If you've had one breakup and it ended, you're allowed to text.
Okay.
If it's one of those multiple breakup people,
on again, off again things, right.
Err on the side of no text.
Well, that was a lot of the times those situations were like, I'm getting the text and I'm like, I know what
Here
you're doing.
Here we go right. again.
I know,
yeah.
But it's kind of like one of those things where you always talk about the in. You know what I mean? You can't argue that person's wrong. Like I was just so happy for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's the inarguable.
But it's like I know you're full. Like especially with the good things, because mm-hmm. the good things aren't like it doesn't seem predatory when you're just like, oh, awesome job. It's like yeah. I know what you're doing.
Yeah. And then awesome job. How you been?
Right.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Exactly.
Those are the ones you know.
And the next thing you know. The person is like pulling away after you've been sleeping with them for 2 months. And you're like, how did I get here? I thought I had the great thing going on.
You're probably wondering how I ended up here.
Right? So I'm saying it's like you had the upper hand and then that person yeah. like sneaks in with the like, awesome job. Good for you. I'm so excited for you.
Let's do drinks this week right. and celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're like crying alone in your room.
But it also takes your, the thing is there's,
well, that's why I don't answer those people.
We can't absolve ourselves of self-responsibility.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the self-responsibility there is to go, uh-oh, no, I won't get drinks with you this week.
Right.
You know, like, well, cool. How you been? What happens is what that does, we have a lot of people that write into here and DMs and all this stuff where they're like, here's a situation that they're like, you know, we got together. The best time to hook up with someone is after you've broken up. So they'll go, okay, we've broken up, and now we're still. Now we started texting again, and now he's like, hey, meet up with me. This is the best entree right. to meet up with me because now there's
an outside force. Well, it's like the birthday text.
The treaty has been lifted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, the birthday text or the mom passed away. Hey, I heard about your mom. I'm so sorry. Then you answer. You have some nice banter. Then a week goes by. It's like, hey, you out tonight? The you out tonight is almost okay now because the last text on the phone isn't right. go fuck yourself. Right. You know, if you one scroll up is a beautiful text to your mom.
Yeah.
No one does four up. Where it's like, you're a piece of shit.
I'm sorry, I can't do this.
Yeah, like, a lot of this is a buffer between your shitty texts
right.
to the next "are you up" text, because the easiest person to end it with is the person you've already ended it with, because you're like, well, we already wrote the contract. You said, I told you I don't want a serious relationship. You knew not to come here. That's what I'm
saying. A lot of the times as a woman, you kind of have to be on defense, because there are a lot of people, there's a lot of men who like will use those things to, and they don't really care about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the worst thing about those things is they're under the guise of like,
of niceties.
Of I care about you and I'm excited for you and I'm happy for you, and it's selfless. It's under the guise of selflessness, but it's not. It's actually just like their way
in. It's to add blue onto the phone.
Right. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Awkward sex?
Yeah, you got it.
Hey, J&J, big fan of the podcast, so I know I should get straight to the point. I've been seeing this guy for about 4 months. We've had the exclusive talk. One thing I noticed about him right off the bat is that he is constantly chewing gum. It doesn't really bother me, but it definitely gets something I've noticed. The other day, he came over and we started making out. He excused himself to go to the bathroom, and I assumed he went to spit out his gum. He came back, went down on me, and we ended up having sex. Afterwards, we were having a post-game sex snuggle, and all of a sudden, he starts chewing his gum again. I asked if he had it in his mouth the entire time, and he said, yeah, he tucks it into the back of his mouth when we make out so it doesn't accidentally end up in my mouth. I have no idea how this guy does it because I really thought he spit it out. Then it suddenly occurred to me that he went down on me with the gum in his mouth. I asked if it tasted like pussy at this point. Abrupt, like, U-turn in this conversation.
That got are you sexual.
Is that gum in your mouth? Oh, I thought you spit it out when you... So do you make out with me? Like,
oh, my.
You make out... Like, what is ask me.
Is that gum in your mouth?
Yeah. When we make out, I tuck it, you know, to the back of my mouth.
So you just go down on me with this gum in your mouth?
Yeah, I just tuck it up into the mouth.
Does it taste like pussy?
Actually, I want to be the woman. Let me be the woman.
You should be the woman.
You go.
Okay.
So, hey, did you have a gum in your mouth when we were making out?
Yeah. I like, you know, I put it in the back of my mouth so it doesn't, you know, you can't even tell.
Really? That's crazy. I never thought about that. Did you have it in there when you went down on me?
I put it in the back of my mouth. You can't even tell. I don't like to waste a good piece of gum.
Now, I want you to tell me something. Does that gum taste like pussy?
So this girl's a man.
Just such a... She takes a drag of a cigarette.
Oh my god.
Does that gum taste like pussy?
Oh my god.
I love
that. This whole thing is making me so uncomfortable.
I asked him, I have no idea. Then it suddenly occurred to me that he went down at me with the gum in his mouth. I asked if it tasted like pussy. At this point, he said no, but it doesn't help cancel out the flavor either, since it's lost its mintiness before we started making out. Everyone is being too honest.
I know. This is like medical procedure.
I asked him to never please do that again because I don't want to end up going to the doctor because there's gum stuck in my vagina. He said he thought about spitting it out, but he didn't want to ruin the moment. It is a little like, ooh, kissing down the stomach.
Yeah. Unpleasant.
He said he thought
about it in your sheets.
I've been seeing this guy for 4 months now, and I can't stop wondering how many times he's gone down on me with the gum in his mouth. What are your thoughts on this? I've never heard of anything like this happening my group chat before.
She says calls it gum or cum. I like it.
Gum or cum.
Bubblicious.
Bubblicious. Trident trauma.
I like that.
Bubblicious boy, bubblicious
bubble boy, bubblicious
bubble
boy.
That's good. Wintergreen Gary.
My Gary.
I don't know. Just give him a name.
So you say you chew a lot of gum.
We've talked about this in a past episode.
Have you ever done this?
I've definitely done this.
Really?
Absolutely.
Is it a thing?
I've told you. I don't know what episode
it was.
You're
chewing them now?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I don't know what episode it was. It was at the end of an episode. Yeah. We talk about how I always have gum in my mouth, and I'll put it in the back, so top right-hand corner of my cheek.
Do men have like a special spot in their mouth that females don't have?
I don't know. Well,
I've never heard of any...
I think men have more practice with gum. I think maybe that's not like a good look for women.
They're exposed to more gum early on.
I've never been told I look like a horse with gum in my mouth. I can see how some women might get from a grandmother that it's not
right.
Ladylike.
I feel like we've gotten more like spit out your gum. Yes, whatever. Yeah.
But for me, I put in the top cheek of my mouth.
Interesting storage facility I never knew about.
But it never gets in the way. I've never had an issue. One time, I went home with a girl. And we hooked up, and she woke, and it wasn't my gum. We were both drunk.
What?
She had gum in her mouth.
Was it different guy's gum?
It was her gum. Yeah, Gary. She woke up with a giant clump of gum in her hair.
That is, maybe that's why we don't chew gum. Gum in your hair is like the worst thing that could ever happen.
She had to like, and I remember we went
you
out
have
for
to cut the hair out.
Totally. This was in there too.
Yeah.
And I remember
the closer it gets to the root, the more fucked up it is.
I remember we hooked up. This was years ago.
Why we don't chew gum. I forgot about that.
It's the hair thing, because if you get drunk, it falls out of your mouth and then it's in your hair.
Yeah.
So it fell out of her mouth. It got in her hair, and we went out for, and I like, I'll never forget it. Because I remember the next morning, she was kind of freaking out, a little bit embarrassed. I was like, it's cool, whatever. And I was like, let's just go for breakfast. You know, like, we'll...
Me, you, and your gum.
And your gum. But I remember her, like, putting her hair up in a way that, like, the gum went away.
She had to cut it out, right?
Had to have.
And you have to.
Yeah. I just remember that how embarrassed she was. And I felt bad because it wasn't that embarrassed. To me, I was like, it happened.
You can't wash that out.
No,
yeah.
But we couldn't get out. It was in there. Real good. But I do think someone might be like, well, Jared, you keep it. I'm pretty skilled with putting, I mean, we did a whole podcast. You didn't even know I had gum in my mouth. So the idea of him going down on you, you're like, I don't want to go to the doctor because there'd be gum in my vagina. I think that's a little dramatic.
I can imagine a world in which that happened.
I can, but I'm also imagining the world where
especially
a guy chews gum,
like,
a lot.
If you're the kind of girl who has like pubic hair, that's probably terrifying.
It is a little terrifying. Gonna cut it out of that. Just
I don't
so
know.
Funny.
I mean,
red flag or deal breaker. You're with a guy and you see this.
I guess. I mean, it's like if he's good at it, whatever, you know, whatever you got to do to get there.
I mean, if a girl went down on me with gum in her mouth and, like, I felt the gum a little bit, I'd be like, this is cool.
Oh, you're into it?
Yeah, why not? A little, like, some silly putty on my balls or some shit. I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's the more off-putting thing to me is if she got up and she's like, if the girl went down on me and she goes, this gum tastes like dick.
What if it was a girl who just chewed Bubblicious constantly, like sugary,
I'd be okay with
huge
it.
Gum.
Well, one time, did I ever tell you the story? My buddy and I used to fuck with a friend of ours in economics class in college. We had a friend that was like really into economics class. Like she was like on the ball. And one day we went into class. We sat on both sides of her and we both were like, he was like, "Do you want some gum?" And I was like, "Sure." And then he put a Bubblicious in his mouth. I put a Bubblicious in my mouth.
I remember the story.
And then he goes, "Do you want another piece?" And I go, "Sure." And then we both had three pieces of Bubblicious in our mouth and we just sounded like horses or like cows, just like,
ugh, that poor girl.
And I remember she was so into the class. She wanted to get her homework done. And she's like, she had to get up. She like freaked out. She's like, "This is, I gotta get out of here." And we like high five.
You're probably on her list of like people she also, the Scheiden, whatever the fuck it's called.
Schadenfreude. Waiting on me to die.
Waiting for all your shows to be canceled. Crossing you off the list.
Yeah, with lipstick.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
Yeah.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Let's hit it.
Okay. My boyfriend and I have been dating for over a year through him being in grad school, and now we're both working in the real world. We live an hour away as I live in the city and he lives at home, so most of our relationship is bound to the weekends. It makes the weekends always exciting and we have an amazing time together, but being in a weekend relationship is taking its toll. I consider myself a pretty independent person, but when in a relationship, my love language is quality time. So spending as much time with my significant other as possible is important to me. But he is different in the sense that he needs more personal time. This weekend, for example, he mentioned it'd be nice to have a regroup weekend for some personal time. But to me, I'd be just as content with a relaxing weekend together. How do I compromise this and not think, okay, now we won't see each other for 2 weeks now? Or think, why doesn't he want to spend relaxing time with me? I guess the main question would be, how do you both balance your relationships, jobs, friends, family, and alone time? Does it just come down to different priorities?
So this is kind of
a non-COVID question.
To me, this is the problem with the love languages.
Well,
this becomes and we talk about it a lot in this podcast, saying before being. You know, where someone's like, "Well, I'm an introvert."
Right.
So I
like my alone time.
I like my alone time. And then they get with someone, then all of a sudden they're not such an introvert anymore.
Right.
So the problem with the love language thing is giving people an out for being actually in relationships.
What do you mean?
Could be like, "Well, you know, this guy could be like, I'm not really into, you know," what did she say her love language was?
Like quality time.
Quality time. He's like, well, that's number five on my list. Number one on my list is I'm a real big go out with my friends for three beers and speak to you once a week in between blowjobs guy. That's my that's love language. You know what
acts
I mean?
Acts of service.
But, acts of get to it, bitch. You know, like. But you know what I mean? Like, right. This is where it comes in as a problem because, like, I like my alone time too, but I also spend every minute with Jess, you know, sitting around doing nothing like she wants to do.
Well, do you ever have unmatched wanting for alone time and being together?
You know, there's a night, like, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was done with shows and she was like, hey, why don't you stay at my place? Why don't you come over? And I was like, well, I have a meeting in the morning. I'm going to go stay at home. And she was like, ugh, that sucks. And I'm like, yeah, it sucks. Didn't work out tonight. Tomorrow, we'll chalk it up. You know, like, and it's as easy as that. It does. When the minute it becomes, well, this is my love language, is the minute it's like, oh, you're trying to mask having an uncomfortable conversation with each other.
So you think he's trying to, like, get out of this?
I think he's trying to separate from you in a way that he's trying to tell you the type of relationship he wants.
Right. I think this could be related to anything. I think it could be like, he doesn't text me ever. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? I go back to what we always say about owning your standards. So it's kind of like, okay, that's what he wants, but what do you want? You want to spend more time together. You want a partner who wants to spend every weekend together, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Him not wanting to do that is also fine if he finds the right person.
Sure. He's not that guy. It might not be the match.
Right. And, well, that's what I'm saying. It's more about like, why doesn't he want it? I think it's very easy to take this personally, and I've done this before, to be like, you know, am I annoying him? Am I an annoying person? Am I being clingy? Should I say something? I don't want to be cool. I want to be chill. But I also like, I'm also really want to hang out with him.
But this is the problem with the love languages thing. It immediately becomes we can work it out if we just figure out the language. And it's like, no, you can't. This ain't figuring itself out. You two are not a match. He is trying to stay far enough away from you to fuck and not be responsible for you at the same time.
But if he really cared about her and he knew that meant a lot to her, maybe he would just do it.
Of course. That's what I'm saying. Like, right, yeah. Listen.
But she doesn't even sound like she's
entertaining that.
She's said anything to him, though.
Yeah, because she's sitting there going, well, I want to respect his language, and I have my language. I know how I am. She's putting the blame on herself, which isn't fair.
Right.
She can say, I think this is like the same going back to like paying for the bill. Like, if you dump someone because they didn't pay for the date, that's okay.
Right. If you dump someone because they're not trying to hang out with you on the weekends, that's also okay.
That's also okay. You're going to be just the nicest person that will want that with you. And I think when someone like doesn't even meet you, like this whole email is from the perspective of how do I meet his love language?
Right.
It's not that's how does saying, he meet mine.
That's the standard thing. Yeah.
There's no point in this where she goes, well, he won't hang out with me when I say it's important to me and I should probably leave this guy, right? You know,
it's like, it's not that he's, to relate it back to texting, it's like, it's not that how do I get him to text me more? It's like, how do I find a guy who wants to text in the same frequency that I do?
I think in these cases, my best advice, it's okay to be mad because...
Oh, you think so?
Oh, absolutely. To go, hey, it's fucked up. You didn't come hang out with me. I'm sitting at home doing nothing. I'm quarantined. I thought we'd be quarantined together. You know, like that type of thing.
Right.
Where you go, hey, it's really disappointing me that you didn't show up. And then he'll either fix it or not. And if he doesn't, that shows you how much responsibility he wants for you.
Yeah, you're giving them everything is a little test. I mean, like, you don't want to think that you're being tested in a relationship, but especially in the beginning, everything that you're saying is like, we're going to see how close we can come to each other on this thing. But if you never say your point of view, then the other person... then you have to go to the other person's side. It's no one going to the middle.
With working at night, you realize, like I would have a lot of times where Jess would go, hey, she would get mad at me. And there were a lot of pressure points in where we are now that started with us like on the edge of a breakup. Where we'd be sitting there and she's going, you either make me feel like you want a date with me or you leave this relationship. And... you know, I got better and we figured it out and we talked more about it.
There was a citywide shutdown.
Citywide shutdown. And we, really we closed all that. Restaurants. And we
really helped you make those decisions.
Yeah. It helped us out a lot. But I'm saying, my point with that is that, like, the next week, we did have a date.
Right. Well,
and,
that's what...
And I did say to her, here's my schedule for the next week. And no, I wouldn't do that for someone I met a week ago.
Yeah.
Like, if a weekend she was like, I need to know your schedule next week because I don't feel valued in this relationship, I would have said, this is too early for me. And yeah. I would have been out.
Right. And I feel like, and we talked about this too before, it's like ultimatums get a really bad rap,
mm-hmm.
but ultimatums are really like, here's my standard.
Yeah, I think it's, I think they get a bad rap because a lot of times it's like, you're making him choose between you and his life. And it's like, no, 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 no. You're making the person choose between a compromise and no compromise.
Right.
And if you are in a negotiation, we've brought that metaphor up a lot on this podcast. Both parties leave not getting everything they want.
Exactly. But if you care about the person, you're still in negotiations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the minute you're like, this isn't worth a negotiation to me, I'm out. Fuck this contract.
But this love language thing has made it really easy for people to act like assholes without compromising. So they go, I'm just the sarcastic one. No, you're the bitch.
Right.
You're the dickhead who says uncomfortable things to make people feel uncomfortable because you have low self-esteem. That's who you are. What's that?
What does that have to do with the love language, though?
I'm saying this is because people do with their love language. Well, I'm a person who needs quality time. Right. And if I don't get it all, then I won't have... Then you have to... You're not being with me. And it's like, all right, well, how about you get the quality time that the other person... And then the other person goes, well, I like, you know, gestures. It's like, okay, like, okay, then what the fuck are we talking? You're not, this isn't Hogwarts versus Hufflepuff.
Right. Yeah, know? I think if you use them loosely, they're good. Sometimes people can take them to an extreme of like.
To me, this is an extreme.
Right. I agree.
Like the fact that she's like, well, I have to bounce around his act of gesture and he's not a quality time person. No, 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 no. Everyone's a quality time person.
Right. I think they can be used as an excuse for something that's not working on a different level and you can blame it on that.
Sure.
When it's not the case.
Oh, he doesn't like sitting on the couch with someone?
Right.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. You ready?
I'm ready.
I've been dating my amazing boyfriend for 4 years, and we've had for the most part a loving and healthy relationship. Uh-oh.
Here it goes.
Sometimes you read these emails and the first line, you know it's going to get serious. Like, she just goes, 4 year relationship, loving, for the most part, a loving relationship. Here we go.
I was like, what an idiot. No, just kidding. Thank you for writing in.
Recently, we agreed that at the end of our lease this summer, we would move in together. It felt extremely right and mutual. She wrote mutuals in all caps.
Mutual.
He was
very excited. He said it was great.
When we had the discussion, but since then things have felt off and I'm finding myself slightly annoyed and sad and feeling there's a lack of effort on his end. I feel like he hasn't made much of his normal effort, isn't really quote unquote there for me fully the way he has been and I want him to be. And I kind of seem lower priority in short. I can't help but feel this. He is trying to quote unquote live it up before he moves out of his place with his roommates and best friends. Uh-oh. Or just having cold feet in general. Both of these would be okay if he just communicated this to me instead. I feel like he's been kind of distanced, and I feel like bringing things up, he might rebut by saying I'm moving in with you. I don't want to feel like I constantly owe him a pass or I'm pushing him into this by any means. I've told him a few times now that if he wants to wait another year, that's fine by me. And he reassures me he really wants to move in. I also don't want to move in with if we're on shakier ground. I feel like we're on now. If we're on the shakier ground, I feel like we're on now. What do you suggest with this? I want him to have his fun and his with his friends, but I also don't feel don't.
Bless you.
Just a sneeze. Just a sneeze. Doesn't it feel weird?
They're coming for you.
No, I have allergies.
It does feel like a scary time. I coughed before and I felt like you can't do that in public anymore.
No,
to public get into sneak. Just like pulling out your penis.
Yeah, yeah. I run into a fucking alleyway. I don't want to feel like I constantly owe him a pass or I'm pushing him into this by any means. I've told him a few times now that if I want to wait another year, I also don't want to move in over on shakier ground than I feel like we're on now. What do you suggest with this? I want him to have his fun with his friends, but I also don't like that it seems like he's acting like this is the last months of fun he'll ever have in his life. I am starting to think that we're not the right space to move in together. I guess my main fear is that he's not being completely honest with me and there were some resentment in the future. I know I need to just have a talk with him, but I'm worried I will push him further away. Would love your thoughts on how to handle this. Thank you. What do you think?
I think the... I feel like it reminds me of the guys who, like, you know, have prostitutes to their villa on their bachelor party. Sure. It's kind of like, what are, like... You're acting like the kind of like what she's saying. Like, you're acting like this is, like, your last hurrah. Like, you're about to be, like, you're going to prison. It's not a good feeling.
Well... I did air, we did talk a little bit about this in the last episode.
Right.
Just the difference between men
the
and women.
The excitement thing, yeah.
And the excitement thing.
And then this episode too, because you just moved in.
I just moved in.
Right.
Let me read, sometimes the answers are in the email. The things that we've spoken about is me not sounding excited when I am, but.
Your actions.
But I would say that my version of what I said sounds very different than her version. Not one. I did say that a friend of mine said, well, you had a good run. That conversation did happen, but it wasn't, you had a good run. Let's go to the strip club and get it out while we still can.
Right.
You know, that wasn't the end of that story. So when she writes,
it feels like you don't want it that bad when you're trying to like get everything in before.
Oh, this is bizarre to me.
Right.
Because I'm not doing this. This is very, again, I'm 10% away from the guy you're dating. This is 100% away from where I am, which makes me think he's not wanting to move in.
Well, why not take the
bait? I have had friends that have done similar this stuff like this.
Right.
And the relationships always end. I'm just saying.
Why is that?
The month of the bachelor party, you know, the minute they become like, when a guy becomes the groomzilla, when the guy is like, well, everyone get together for my going away party because I'm going away to, like, you know, move in with my girlfriend. It's like, what?
Right.
Like, I've never heard of
it. Yeah.
And the idea that he's going from roommates to move in with you. Like, right now, my life, the move in is, like, stressing me out because of, like, we're not there yet. Like, we're taping this before. But, like, the move in is stressing me out because of the logistical shit. The fact that we're going into quarantine and I need a moving company to come to undo my, and I need people to move stuff out of my place and I have to get, you know, insurance to give to the doorman and to for the building to have movers come in. All this stuff stresses me out. I also own my place. I have renters.
Right.
So like.
Well, you're like more of an adult, it sounds like, than this guy who has the
but
roommates.
I would think that all people going into, I think men are way more in tune, as we talked about, in tune to like, okay, the logistics of this. None of the logistics include, gotta have one more night with the boys.
Right.
You know, like, it just, well, this is foreign to me. This is someone who is saying to his friends, or his friends realize, like, we're, you know, he thinks there's an ending to his fun that doesn't really, I don't really feel that way. I don't go into this move being like, well, it's over. I'm like, no, this is a new beginning for something I'm ready for.
You're not trying to overcompensate for...
Yeah, I don't need like a coke-filled binge with the boys.
Right.
You know, with a bunch of girls with hot tits. Like, that's not like my, that's not my going, moving in gift from the guys.
It feels like the bigger hurrah you make about something, the more scared of it you are. Or the
especially
more,
for
the
men.
The more you feel like you need to prove that you're not this person.
Totally.
And I think that's true of like girls with our 30th birthday parties sometimes do, or the, you know, something like that, where it's like, I'm still young and fun. Yeah. And like,
I don't trust it from a guy. Okay. Because again, no one else is excited for this. You know, right. Like, no one else is like, oh, you're moving in? Time to have the, you know, the big guy hang. Like,
so that's never happened. He's initiating all
this. He's initiating all of this.
So if you were her, so she already gave him the out. She said, if you want to wait another year, I'm okay with that. Like, nah, what do you think she should do? What's her next step here?
She said a lot of things that kind of, you know, I feel bad for her situation. I don't feel bad for her. She's fine. But she mentions 4 years. She mentions, I'll wait another year. She mentions shakier grounds that we're on now. Like, I want him to have his fun with his friends, but I also don't like that he's acting like this is the last months of fun he'll ever have in his entire life. She's not, again, this is an email written from the perspective of her boyfriend's feelings, not from her own feelings. Mm-hmm. She feels less loved. She feels like a side note to this guy's life or in the way of his fun life. And I think she needs to air not as part of the move. I think it has to be about more than the move. Hey, this relationship's kind of fucked up right now.
Right.
You're making me feel less valued in the way you're acting as we move closer to moving in together. And I don't really want to be with someone who's not ready to move in with me. I don't want to be with someone who 4 years in isn't positive and sure and is dancing excited. And is excited.
I know you don't like that term.
I think... Or acting like an adult with me on this road.
Right.
That would be my advice to her. I think she has to have a very tough relationship convo that starts with, we might need to break up.
It starts with vulnerability. Yeah. I think that's the most important thing that you said, is it comes with like, what is happening is making me feel less valued, less loved, and less like you feel like you're excited to, or you're excited and lucky to like be in this with me.
She brings up a great point, because she goes, she's afraid of the defense of, I'm moving in with you. So if you say to him, hey, are you excited? I'm moving. What do you mean I'm excited? Because I've said the same thing. I'm doing it.
Right. So maybe, but excited. We can't.
It's not about excitement. It's not about his tone. It's not about the moving. It's about, hey, this relationship is not working. I'm not moving in with someone I don't love, and I really don't love you like this.
Ooh.
Boom.
Burn.
Game over.
Right.
Right? That seems
I feel like he's going to come around though. I'm going to try to, I'm going to change, blah, blah, blah.
He might, here's 7 things I need done from your end to, like, I would be like, and make it like practical. Like, are the movers done? Did you clean out your apartment? Did you get, you know, but like.
My issue with that is, and then you become like the warden. Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
that's fair.
I mean, like, it's so hard to navigate that fine line. And I experienced that in my relationship too, between like, I don't want to be like constantly testing you, like making sure you got your homework done.
Well,
but I also want to like make sure that you got your homework done.
Well, she needs to pick out one thing that hasn't happened yet. Like,
because that's how I feel like you we're always afraid of turning into like just like that nag.
Yeah, the
of
mom.
Like, yeah, like the person who's just nagging you Barbara. Into all parts of your life. That's why we want you to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more excited you are, the less it feels like we've got like a leash on you. Well, we don't like feeling like we have a leash on you either.
It does. You can say, you know, your actions have been more excited for the parties before you move than the move itself. You know, you haven't done one thing for the move, but you were able to like plan a going out night for you and the boys.
Right.
Like, that could be referenced. But to me, the relationship is fucked up. It's not about the move. I don't think they move in and then they go, woo, right. Back to normal.
Well, that's a lot of the times what happens when you feel like when you have these couples and they move in together, it's kind of like not, in order to almost not have to talk about the real issues that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just keep moving forward without ever really like dealing with those things that are happening. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They use the moving on, like the different life events as distractions from like really figuring out what they need to figure out about the way that
fix the marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. A real talk has to be without moving talk maybe involved.
Right. I agree with that. Okay.
Let's do some games.
Let's do it.
UUP@betches.com. UUP@betches.com. Red flag deal breaker. Go for it.
Okay, you go on The Bachelorette and you win and get engaged. After the proposal, the bachelor or bachelorette asks you not to watch the show. If you ask why they don't want you to watch the show, they say that they want to focus on the relationship and future they have with you and not the past. Red flag or deal breaker?
It's a good question. So don't watch the show because they hypothetically, you go on The Bachelor.
Or they go on?
I go on The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. Okay.
You go on The Bachelorette.
And I get engaged.
Okay.
After the proposal, the person who's gotten the fantasy suites with all the people.
Okay.
Asks you, don't watch.
Oh, like at, we're both on the show.
You, so there's.
Okay. The I'm Bachelor, The Bachelorette.
You're The Bachelor, or let's say you're The Bachelorette.
Okay.
I go on the show as one of the contestants.
Okay, we win. You win. We're together.
We're engaged. We're proposed. And then you say to me, I think it's best for this relationship, don't watch the show.
Like, I think that's okay.
I do too. I don't think it's hell. I do. Everyone has that conversation where they go, well, they had sex with three women 6 days before they got engaged.
Yeah, we've all had that.
We've all had that thought of like, this show
this seems a little weird.
This is a little fucked up.
Well, it's kind of like Love is Blind where the stakes are unnecessarily high.
Yeah.
Like, but on The Bachelor, at least you don't have to get married immediately.
You could like be like, hey, we're just together. We're going to figure this thing out. Yeah.
Well, that's why that's the rebuttal to the, like the six women sleep. Like in the real world, like if, especially most of these people don't get married for like a couple of years after this. It's more like, we're still dating.
We're still seeing how this thing works out.
And then I decided to like delete some girls from my DMs.
But this person saying them asking you is really the issue.
Well, there was a, did you watch Andy Dorfman's season?
I don't think I did.
There was something on that where like he had written something. There was some game or something where he had written something and she didn't want to know or something. I don't know, whatever. What would you say?
If they asked that of me, I would understand where it came from. And I'd be like, you were in a very specific situation.
It's only going to upset you.
It's only going to upset me. And you were in a situation. The problem for these people, the thing that people don't really reference is that like, then they kind of tore around each other now. So like, not only did the person, like you're engaged, but then the people that also fucked her are at tow with you. What's the festival they all fucked at?
Stagecoach.
They're at Stagecoach at another stage. You go, hey, how you been?
Right. It's not like you're in that world now.
Like,
and you don't want to not know things that those people know because then it's embarrassing.
Like Hannah B picks Jed over Tyler C, and Tyler C, the whole story was that she was like, I know I want to fuck you. So we shouldn't fuck.
Right. Like, what is that like for Jed if they wind up together?
I guess that's easier for me if I'm Jed. I could go, I understand lust.
I understand and I want to have sex with him too.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of like being one of our significant others and listening to the show.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not quite the same. You don't have to visually watch.
I mean, if Jess told me a story about her waking up in bed with a guy who got gum in his hair, I'd be like, yeah, that's a funny story. It's not like she didn't wake up with a guy and go, and I, like, if Jess told the story and was like, and I'm waking up and I blow this guy. Ooh, did it.
I mean.
Oh, and I was sucking on the balls.
I mean, you talk about girls that you've slept with.
But I don't think, maybe you could play it back right now. I don't think I'm like, and I'm licking her butt. Oh, and all around the rim. And, and she's screaming my name. You know, like I'm not.
Right.
And she looked nothing like, you know, like I'm not like going into those types of details. And it kind of does with The Bachelor, Bachelorette. Those details are there for you to see.
Right. I think there's a level of it with this, but it's not the same. But yeah, I agree. I don't think there's anything like, it's also especially like when you're competing with those people and the person is just giving. It's okay to have some mystery in a relationship. Of course.
I mean, Hannah was going to get married to Jed and Jed was going to have a fiance who has a friend whose nickname is Peter Four Times Weber. the reason being that he had sex with her four times in a windmill.
Well,
so it'd be tough. I'd have to watch the show. I'd watch anyway.
I think I'd watch too, just so that I didn't feel like I was working with a different set of knowledge than the rest of the world.
Yeah, you don't want to just the blind.
And someone mentioned something, you're like, what?
A windmill?
What is this windmill joke?
Yeah, well, I don't get it.
No wonders. All right. Yeah.
Let's do another.
All right. His last name is the same as your mom's maiden name, so it's unclear whether you're distantly related.
Ooh, this feels like it was written in by a Hasidic person. I guess it's not. I would maybe you take a 23andMe and you figure out it's not that much.
I did have a boyfriend whose last name was the same name as my mom's maiden name.
Really?
I did.
And did you have to feel weird? Did you check it out?
It's only weird. It's only kind of weird because my middle name is my mom's maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
So that made it a little weirder.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, no one cares, especially if it's a common name.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Jewy name. Here we are.
It makes some sense.
Right.
This happens probably to Indian people all the time. Like, Patel. Like, there's a million Patels at Smith. You know, like.
Right.
And, like, a lot, I think.
I mean, Eleanor Roosevelt, that was her maiden name also.
Oh,
I think
really?
They might have been, like, third cousins, though.
It was a different time.
FDR and his, yeah.
And his Eleanor.
Yeah. His
cousin Eleanor?
She was Roosevelt also.
That's weird.
Different times.
Everything's great, but they like all their own Facebook, Instagram, Twitter posts. They're self-liking.
I have to say that it's always been a pet peeve of mine.
Huge pet peeve of mine.
It's like very, it's, it almost,
I never understood it.
It shows like a level, I'm not even sure what it shows, but it shows something that makes me uncomfortable. What do you think it means?
I think it means they're like.
Trying to get their numbers up?
Yeah. And I think they're
it's
just.
It's like a little pathetic.
It's a little pathetic. Yeah. It's like, what do we care about at this point? Like, what's the one going to do for you? That's the other thing.
Right.
Like, I guess it only makes sense if you like, I guess I would see this happening more on Facebook than any of the other, because Instagram, you get a lot more likes no matter what. Like, the whole game of Instagram
you
is
do.
Liking. Not me. Speak for yourself. But the whole game of Instagram and Twitter is likes and retweets.
They were just like, I just really wanted to get to like 20.
That's 20. An important number to me.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people get mad when someone retweets their own tweets.
Well, that I assume is to put it back to the front.
The front. So right. I understand that.
That makes more sense, especially if you're like an actual comedian or someone, and not if you're just like.
But when you go on Facebook and you're like a mom and you're like stop vaccinating your kids. Mm. Like, you know, like you like your own. You're like.
Right. Especially when you're the only person who likes it.
Yeah, go me.
Yeah.
Good point, Jared.
I think it's a red flag. I think it screams of caring what people think,
because mm-hmm.
you're either trying to get that number up or you're like trying to self.
Your priorities are misaligned.
It'd be a red flag. I think I could still date that person realistically if everything else were perfect, but I don't think everything else would be.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
given that fact.
Jordana, we did it again.
We did it. What a fun.
Fun. We got him out there.
Thing.
We got. Podcasts are out there. Hopefully we see each other soon.
Yeah.
Everyone out there, stay safe, stay nice, be good to each other. And we'll be back next week.
This is the most endearing that I think we've ever been on a pod.
We're trying.
It's a weird mood. We're trying.
We're trying to be good to everybody. But I guess, you know, someone's going to be out there being like, you're cats. I don't know. All we can say is that we hope for the best for everybody. So keep... You know, keep listening. Hopefully this offered you the hour away from your own thoughts and fears and dreams that, you know, it gave us. Because, you know, sitting here and being normal about this, it's fun for us, too.
Definitely.
So keep sending your emails, UUP@Betches.com.
UUP is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.